Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. The number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. Check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. If you go there, you can listen to past programs, Sunday night programs, Friday afternoon programs. You can also read some articles that I have there, and you can link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor, and all that's available livewithpastoral.com, and there's more than that there. There's some other things there as well, and so check that out. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, our number here tonight is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We were talking with Terry when we came up on the break. And Terry, are you still there with us?
Yes.
Yes. All right. Well, you said you had a couple things that you wanted to ask about as well, in addition to what we were talking about earlier. So we can jump into that, I think.
Yeah. The one thing that, the more the Jehovah's Witnesses, like that's the thing with the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them believe that they gotta work their way to wherever.
Yeah, and that's a common thing in a lot of false religions. No matter how Christian they sound, how much Christian terminology they might use, once they introduce that works aspect, that's where they depart from the gospel message.
Yeah, and that's not an easy job.
No,
to try to work to be righteous.
Yeah, and if you think about it, if you're going to work your way to heaven, and if that's how you get to heaven, then you're going to have to constantly work, or you're not going to make it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, and there's no insurance in that.
No, and
we can never know for sure if we've done enough for the Lord.
Yeah, and that is something that these false religions and false churches bank on. Because think about it. If you tell somebody, I'm thinking of a major group that tells people that the idea of saying that you know for sure that you're going to heaven, that you're saved, is a sin of presumption. Well, why would they do that? Well, because if you never know for sure that you're going to heaven, you never know for sure that you're really, truly saved, then you have to keep going to them, doing what they want you to do, giving what they want you to give. And you know, the Jehovah's Witnesses, for instance, when they knock on doors, and I've challenged them on this, why are you knocking on my door? Because they don't really like to tell you the truth. They're not knocking on the door, generally speaking. They're not knocking on the door for your benefit. They're knocking on your door in hopes that that's enough to make it into paradise. They're doing it for themselves. It's a very selfish reason. They're doing it because they don't know. Maybe one more door, one more piece of literature distributed, one more Bible study, and I'll make it. But you can never know if that was enough. But
and they got all these books that to try to teach them their religion.
Yeah, because you have to study that. But again, you have to keep going back to them, don't you? Because you never can know.
And that's why they're considered to be a cult.
Yeah. And see, that's why we say that once you decide that you have to have good works, works of any kind to get you into heaven, that's a problem because you're departing from the truth of the scripture. And, we need to realize that.
And this is sad because not only do the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, but the Pentecostals and other non-denominational churches out there, they believe that John 3:5, where Jesus was talking to Nicodemus.
Uh-huh.
And I know I brought this up before, and they say that it's water baptism, that you have to be water baptized.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the Mormons believe, and that's what the Jehovah's Witnesses believe.
Yeah. And
that's not talking about, and they take one scripture completely out of context and mm-hmm. just throws the whole everything out of whack.
Yeah. Well, and it would be like taking in the book of Acts, Peter preaches a great message, and he presents Jesus Christ as the Messiah, God manifest in the flesh. And it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And they turn around and say, like you were saying, that means you got to be baptized in order to be saved. But yeah. If that were the case, then when you're watching an old Western of some sort, and it's like, here's Billy the Kid wanted for bank robbery. Oh, they must be wanting to hire him to rob banks then. They want him in order to go out and rob banks. Or here's Jesse James wanted for train robbery. Oh, they want to hire him to rob trains. No, that we understand when it says wanted for, it's because they've already done something. It's because of. And that's what Peter is saying here. Be baptized, he says, be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Because you've already received the remission of sins, you be baptized.
Right.
And they just insist that it's the other way around. But yet they would also insist that wanted for train robbery means it's because they already did it.
Yeah, and the Pentecostals, they teach the same thing, like the water and the spirit is, the water is talking about baptism.
Yeah.
And I used to, and when I was in the Pentecostal circle, I was always worried every time I said, I've done it, I'm done.
Yeah.
And I used to have that thinking in my mind, I can lose my salvation.
Yeah.
And, for years and years, and that's the way I thought. Every time I sinned, I thought, the Father's not done with people, even though they sin.
Yeah. Well,
we have an advocate with the Father.
Yeah, and he's always there bearing witness that we put our faith in Christ. And think about this. In John chapter 19, Jesus is hanging on the cross, okay? And when he's hanging on the cross, at the very end, just before he bows his head and gives up the ghost, it says in John chapter 19, verse 30, "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is," and here's the word, "it is finished."
Finished.
It says, "It is finished." And it says he gave up the ghost. And this is that, I know I'll mess it up, but it's that word tetelestai or whatever. And I was looking at something online and they were talking about this phrase, "it is finished." And they were talking about how it was a military term where you would have somebody come to a town or something like they want to lay siege to it. And remember the story of David and Goliath? And remember how Goliath was the champion of the Philistines?
Yes.
And every morning, Goliath went out into the valley between the two camps, the Philistines on one side, the Jewish people on the other side, and he would challenge them, "Send out somebody to fight with me." And if he beats me, we will serve you. But if I beat him, you will serve us. And then, of course, David saw that and you know, he said, is there not a cause? And he went out and fought. And when he defeated Goliath through the strength of the Lord, the Philistines were defeated. Now, they had this thing. They said that sometimes what would happen is they would send the champion out from the city, and he would fight the champion from the invading force. And if he beat them, they would send a runner back to the city to give the good news. And what does the gospel mean? Good news, right? He would bring back the good news that it is finished. Our champion defeated the enemy. And so he was making the point that when Jesus was on the cross and he said, it is finished, he was giving us the good news that the enemy is defeated because he had done everything necessary for our salvation. He did all the work because he's our champion, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. And when he said it's finished, it's finished.
It's finished.
There's nothing more to add.
Exactly. And you know, so it's
people teach progression.
Yeah.
You know, that they God's not done, it's a progression. He's still progressing.
Yeah.
And that's not biblical either.
You know, I was looking at a passage here this morning during our morning Bible study at church, and it's made me think about this in John chapter 5, let me find it here. John chapter 5, okay, here it is in verse 24. And this also touches on another thing too, eternal security. And Jesus is speaking here in John chapter 5, verse 24, verily, verily, and of course, verily means truly, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And if you break this verse down, the first thing that he's saying here, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. You remember Paul said, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So we hear the scripture, right? And the Spirit of God convicts us of the truth of the scripture. And we believe, and Jesus is saying here, you believe my word, and you hear my word, and you believe on him that sent me, which is the Father. So you're accepting that God sent Jesus as the Messiah. And then it says this, when we believe, he says we have everlasting life. And, you know, I always like to ask the question, it's almost rhetorical, but a lot of people don't understand, what does everlasting mean? Lasts forever, right? Yeah, lasts yeah, forever.
Never ending.
Jesus is not saying here, he that heareth my word and believeth on me that on him that has sent me hath the potential for everlasting life. It says we have. And when it says have everlasting life, that is present tense. That means right now, when I put my faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior, when I believe him, then here it is. I have everlasting life right now. It's something I now possess.
And nobody can take that away.
Exactly. And notice the next thing that he says. Not only do we have in the present everlasting life already, which means that if you would lose your salvation, it wasn't everlasting, because we have everlasting life, presently have it now, and not because we worked to earn it, but because we simply believed, and then he says, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, which if you were to get the potential for everlasting life, and then for whatever reason, lose it, you would now come into condemnation. But he says you have, present tense, everlasting life, and future tense, you will never come into condemnation. So he's saying right here in this one passage, he's denying faith by works, you know, salvation by works. And he's denying that you can lose your salvation because he said salvation is dependent not on what you do, but on what you believe. And when you believe, you have, present tense, now, everlasting life, which by definition cannot end. And in the future tense, you shall not come into condemnation. And then he gives us the reason, but is passed from death unto life.
Unto life.
Because when we believed, not because of the works that we did, but when we believed, God justified us. He placed us in his family and declared us to be righteous. He put the righteousness of Christ on us. Our sins are forgiven now, and we have everlasting life now. And we have the promise that we will never in the future come under condemnation. If salvation was by works, then Jesus lied here when he said, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me." He would have lied, because he said that's all you had to do in order to get the promise. And then, of course, this is where it does away with the losing your salvation business. Because if you could lose your salvation, you didn't get everlasting life. You merely got the potential for it. And Jesus does away with the idea of potential for everlasting life, because he says you will never come into condemnation. So that means you have everlasting life now, not because of anything you did, but because you believed. You now have everlasting life, and you will never lose it and come into condemnation in the future. Because right now, you, as far as God is concerned, have passed from death into life. You're no longer spiritually dead.
Right. And if you can lose your salvation, that means you still have to work for your salvation.
Yeah. And see, when you believe that you have to earn your salvation somehow, then that goes hand in hand with the idea that you can lose it, because if you're responsible for the earning of salvation, then it's not very far to go from that to believing that you're responsible for the keeping of your salvation. And here's a good question. I remember years ago, gentleman, he's with the Lord now, but he was struggling with dementia. And his concern was, if I'm saved, and I know that I'm saved, but dementia takes away my mind and my memory, and I forget that, and I'm no longer sure of that, and perhaps I do things, because he was struggling, can I lose my salvation? And I said, wouldn't that be an act of cruelty on God's part? That you were saved as long as you could keep it, but because of an organic problem that caused dementia, caused you to lose it through no fault of your own, God holds you responsible? I mean, how many people ask for dementia or Alzheimer's? Nope. And, you know, this is another thing that the miracle and the gift of salvation, because you can't keep it on your own. That's the fact. And you might try, but what happens if you develop Alzheimer's, you know, dementia, and you're not able to do everything that you should do to keep your salvation? And so you go to hell, and God condemns you to hell by saying, well, you had Alzheimer's, so you didn't do what you were supposed to do. So therefore, because you had Alzheimer's, you're on your way to hell. You lost your salvation.
Yeah. And that's foolishness to think that way.
Yeah, I mean,
and we can't think that way when we got dementia.
No, and you can do things when you have dementia or Alzheimer's that, you know, you would not have done normally. Because a lot of times people go back to their past, and especially somebody who maybe got saved later in life, a lot of their past might have been marked with a lot of wicked living. And, you know, but for the grace of God. What's that?
You got to keep an eye on them, too, because they could vanish quickly.
Yeah,
your house and start walking down the street.
Oh, fine. Absolutely. But, you know, the beauty, I mean, I mean, I remember we had a nursing home ministry for a while, and there was an individual there who had been in full-time Christian service. And this is years ago, like over 20 years ago, so I'm not naming names or anything, but it was a case where he had, him and his wife were both in there, and they had to be separated because even though saved and loved the Lord, because of dementia and all that, he was doing things that he shouldn't have been doing, and it was causing problems. And imagine if his salvation was dependent on how he conducted himself in the midst of dementia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no, that's why Jesus said right here, if you believed, if you truly believed, you now, presently have everlasting life, and you will not in the future come into condemnation. You are passed from death into life.
And when we read the whole, receive the Holy Spirit, we know that we are children of God.
Yes.
We should know that.
Yeah, the Spirit of God bears witness to our spirit. But
that we're children of God.
Yeah, but I love this passage here in John chapter 5, verse 24. I hadn't really seen it before, and it was something that we were looking at in church, in Bible study this morning, and it really struck me. And the more I look at it, the more I'm convinced that this is absolutely one of the strongest verses in the Bible showing eternal security. And at the same time, that salvation is not by works, it's by faith alone.
Faith alone, yeah.
It's right there.
And Jesus said, what is the will of the Father?
Mm-hmm.
And I've asked the Jehovah's Witness and the Mormons that question. What is the will of the Father?
Yeah.
And the will of the Father is to believe on him whom he has sent.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Which is
so,
Jesus.
Yeah. So
there's one scripture I wanted to throw in. I'm
yeah.
Time.
And I was going to have to say, I see we've got another caller waiting for us too. So,
yeah.
But
I'm just going to throw one quick scripture mm-hmm. in that I've been sharing with the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons that they can't seem to answer. And the question is that Jesus said he had the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Yes, in him. Yeah.
In him.
Yeah, he embodied the fullness of the Godhead. That's right.
He had the Father in him.
Yes, and the Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. When you remember when they asked Jesus, "Can we see the Father?" and he said, "If you've seen me, you've seen him."
Yeah, I wanted to share that verse.
No, very good. Yes, appreciate that. So.
Okay, I guess I know you have another caller.
All right, we're going to get to our other caller. But good talking to you, Terry. Stay warm.
Yep.
And we'll talk to you again in the future, I'm sure. God bless.
Yes.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got another caller, Cheryl, calling in tonight. Cheryl, welcome to the program this evening.
Thank you, Pastor Al. I'm so glad to be here with you.
Oh, we're glad to have you.
Good. Well, I have to say, I do have a question for you, but I was so intrigued by your last conversation. I have to make a couple comments.
Yes. No, go ahead.
And anyway, the whole thing about, you know, dementia and forgetting mm-hmm. and whatever. That made total sense to me. And, I mean, it would be like you were saying, someone was saved later in life, and then they had dementia, and they had long-term memory but not short, and
yeah.
and think that they were as a 19-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they think they were when it was, you know, that's just not the way it is anymore. And I'm exactly where you are in that God wouldn't do that. It's a mean trick,
mm-hmm.
you know, if he did that. So anyway, I wanted to say that because that was very, very relevant, you know, to God just wouldn't do that. If those are special circumstances and there's illness and sickness in life and you have to make,
right,
you know, considerations for it. So in any event, I wanted to comment on that, but my question.
Yeah.
And so you have a question from Sunday school today, and now mm-hmm. you will have a question from our sermon. And so see, we're listening. We are listening.
Yes.
So this is a broad comment, but you had an excellent example today, but it refers to so many things. And the what it involves is that we have, I believe, that we have to recognize that the left is constantly trying to steal our words and change the definition of our words.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to call them on it just constantly. Okay, so what we talked about today is, you know, wisdom. And what we have linked that to many times in the past is the common sense. It's only common sense. But I believe we have to think like they think. And in their, whatever you want to call about their thinking and their decisions in their mind, with their agenda, they are consistent with their agenda.
Mm-hmm.
When we are talking with them and we're saying it's common sense, and to them they're saying, yes, we have common sense because we are aiming our common sense at the agenda, the global world order. And we are saying common sense is biblical common sense. What's in the Bible is common sense.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just constantly there, you know, just changing the game, trying to steal our words is what
yeah.
it is. Steal our words and change all the definitions. And somehow I just think we need them. This would be very good for you to do, although you have way too much already. But I mean, really, it's to equip people to really come back on an immediate basis with thinking like this when they're saying, you know, that because they take our words and they use, you know, when they're saying something like this is only common sense, it's like, no, it's not. And you can, the easiest one I think ever is transgender and people, and you've gone into the whole nine yards about the biology and the DNA and all that kind of stuff. And that is the easiest one to ever make a point. And yet they will not do that. And their definition is consistent. Their common sense is consistent with their agenda. Now, their agenda is totally wrong. So two wrongs don't make a right.
Mm-hmm.
And in any event, I guess what I think is interesting is how many times people say, I just can't figure out why they would want to destroy our country. I just don't understand why. And it's like, yes, you should. Look at their agenda.
Mm-hmm.
They have to destroy our country. Of course it is. But to point out, that's common sense to you because your agenda is the global world order. And that's totally different from the agenda from our founding fathers and our Constitution and our Declaration of Independence. So your agenda drives you in the direction of making all of these non-patriotic decisions and of course, also trying to thrust them on everyone
mm-hmm.
who understands, you know, where our country is and should be and should be maintained. So in any event, I guess... I don't know. I hope I'm making it.
Yeah. I was going to say we got about a minute and a half, and we're going to take a break, okay. And we can hold you over if need be, too.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
But I'll just end with this one little thing, and that is I don't understand why like-minded like us will sit there forever and say, how can they possibly want to do this? Why would they possibly mm-hmm. think that? I just don't understand. But think like they do. Think with the
right.
agenda, and it will all make sense. You
exactly.
Get far down the line.
Yeah, I was gonna say in regards to that, one of the big problems that we have when dealing with other people is. Oftentimes, and I'm convinced that most people think the other person thinks and acts and reacts the same way they would in the same circumstance. And so they just think, well, how would I react? And when they don't react the way I would react, then I don't understand what they're doing. And then people will advance from that to the position where they'll say, well, okay, I understand that they're not going to think, act, and react the way that I do. And then they kind of decide how they think that they're going to, and they kind of make a box for them. The challenge is to be able to understand why that person thinks, and you hit it, and we pick this up after the break here. I'll continue with this, but to understand what motivates that person so that now you can see how they would think, act, and react based on who they are, not who you are. Hey, we got 5 seconds. We got a break coming up. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program.
Welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and you can check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you'll find out more about me, more about our program, listen to past programs, and you can also link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, all at livewithpastoral.com. You can read some of the articles that I have there, and there's some other materials and things, and hopefully be a blessing, help, and encouragement to you. Just check us out at livewithpastoral.com. Our phone number here, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Going into the break, we were talking with Cheryl in Medina, and we are talking about understanding people. And Cheryl, are you still there with us?
I am.
All right.
Well, as often happens, I thought of a whole other point that I didn't even plan to bring up. But when you're ready for me to go ahead, I'll bring up
sure.
that point.
Sure. And I also have something that might tie in with this as a, like an example, or we can see where you see what people say and do publicly. And, you know, we have to look at that and say, well, wait a minute, why? And when you try to understand the person and understand what motivates that person, I really do think that we're better equipped to deal with them than just saying, well, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't think that. Well, they're not you. They're not me. They're them. And so, and it also takes leading of the Spirit of God as a believer, you know, to guide and direct us, to be able to understand. And some of the things that you're talking about in going into the break, you're talking about how, you know, you look at people and when you understand where they're coming from, the things that they do and say are not really that surprising. They're not really that. And I'll say it this way, it's not really that illogical, even though it might not make sense, if that doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because sometimes things that people say is based on false reasoning, false data, false information, misunderstanding, but when you see how they think or not, you can, what's that?
I said she dropped. Cheryl dropped.
We lost Cheryl there. Hopefully she'll call back here in a minute. We lost Cheryl. I have to have Cheryl call back there. But when you know and understand how they think or not, you can begin to understand where they come up with their positions. And now the danger in that is when you say something to the effect of, okay, here's what somebody said. I understand why they said it. People will say, well, then you must agree with them. But that's not the case. You can understand what motivates somebody to say something while disagreeing strongly with that. Hopefully, Cheryl will give us a call back here. But while we're waiting on her, I did have a clip that I was going to go to. And this clip, it can be hard to listen to. Now, I believe there's no profanity in it, but it's still hard to listen to, and here's why. This clip is of a guy that's running for Ohio Attorney General currently, Elliot Forehand. He's a former state representative, and he represented the 21st District in Cuyahoga County. He was elected in 2022. He was elected, I find this interesting, he was elected with 73% of the vote. Well, the state representatives have only 2 years as their term in office. In his attempt to be reelected, he came in third place with only 12% of the vote. Now, think about that for a minute. He was elected initially with 73% of the vote, and he dropped. Even some of his Democrat compatriots had difficulty getting along with him. And now he's running for the Ohio Attorney General's office. And he has made some troubling statements, and I believe Cheryl's back with us, and Cheryl can weigh in on this too. When we understand where someone's coming from, we can understand the statement, and understanding it does not mean we agree with it. And I have a certain understanding why he said this, but I certainly don't agree with it. Kenny, go ahead and play the clip.
Hi. This is Elliot Forehand, candidate for Ohio Attorney General. I want to tell you what I mean when I say that I am going to kill Donald Trump. I mean I'm going to obtain a conviction rendered by a jury of his peers at a standard of proof beyond a reasonable doubt based on evidence presented at a trial conducted in accordance with the requirements of due process, resulting in a sentence duly executed of capital punishment. That is what I mean when I say that I'm going to kill Donald Trump.
This is a Democrat candidate for the Ohio State Attorney General. And he believes, because of his Trump derangement syndrome, that he's going to tap into the Trump derangement syndrome of other people sufficiently that his promise to find President Trump guilty of a capital crime and see him convicted and executed is going to gain him voters enough that he put this out as part of his campaign. It's distasteful to have to talk about this. Certainly a horrible thing that he has said. And to their credit, some key Democrats have taken a stand against him on this. But how many others out there privately agree with what he said? And it's motivated from an irrational hatred.
And it's not even how many out there are agreeing with him. How many are going to use this same playbook?
Yes, exactly.
They say, ooh, that's good. I got to use that.
And this gets back to what Cheryl was saying. You see something like that and you say, how could somebody say something like that? But when you stop to understand what motivates them, and we've got Cheryl back with us, when you stop to understand what motivates them, this hatred for Donald Trump and everything that he stands for, then you understand why he would say this and think that this is appropriate. Doesn't mean you agree with it at all. What do you think, Cheryl?
Well, I'll tell you what I think. He should be arrested right there.
Well, I hope the Secret Service is investigating.
Yeah. Well, I certainly hope so, too. This is a really shameful that all these things like that. You're talking about Adam Schiff, you know, the whole nine yards.
Yes.
He went through and just lied like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I think he should be arrested too.
Yeah.
Rev up people against our president and against mm-hmm. our government, and it's all I can say is I'm thrilled that most of the people rejected him.
Yeah,
but when he talks about even this, when he says I want to do this and then get him convicted and then mm-hmm. get amended and then it's like. Now, what exactly gives you the evidence right now that all of that's going to happen? But this leads right into the next point that I wanted to make.
Yeah, let me interrupt before you get to the next point. I was going to say, it's like the old Western where they...
It's actually linked.
Yeah, but I was going to say real quick, it's like the old Western where they said, well, of course we'll give them a trial before we hang them.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, just like that, that's for sure. Well, anyway, what I was going to say is... you know, I think it would be helpful to consider asking questions rather mm-hmm. than making statements. So it would make the person have to explain themselves instead of getting all the way down the line. And definitely don't let yourself assume. Never assume mm-hmm. that somebody thinks the way they think. And this, okay, I'll... If you help remind me, I'll come back to that point because I don't want to get off this one.
And I was going to say, too, isn't that what Charlie Kirk was good at doing?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. But I really think learning how to ask questions, mm-hmm. just like when we went back to the other example of wisdom and common sense,
mm-hmm.
Somebody says... you know, whatever they're going to say, and you say, well, now, you know, how do you define that, actually? And then you can say, well, and what is your source for that? And, you know, you could go into, you know, definitions of wisdom. We're using wisdom, mm-hmm. biblical wisdom, and to make them explain themselves. Okay, what is common sense? Now, you're saying we shouldn't do this, we should do that. And why is your... idea here. Why is that common sense? You know, and we've been the Constitution, whatever. But in other words, let them bury themselves
mm-hmm.
instead of you, you know, thinking you're going to get to a way of, of whatever. Now, it's interesting because Title IX, a fair amount of it, and in a number of the other documents that are part of, you know, the woke and the Title IX and all that jazz, they make a big point of allowing perception to let a, let me see, what did they call them? The Q.
Are you talking about where they a guy would claim to be a woman and so that's all he had to do is?
Well, no, actually, I was making it more a broad thing, and that is, it has to do with someone accusing, claimant, that was the word.
Mm-hmm.
Someone accuses someone of doing whatever, you know, like discrimination.
Right.
And the claimant says to another person who would be called the respondent, they're responding, they're getting accused, you know, they would say, no, I didn't think that or whatever. And they'd say, no, you do. I know that you were thinking that. And then, not only that, but in that Title IX, it actually said it was up to the respondent to prove that they did not do what the claimant said they were going to do. Boy, if that isn't, you know, securities all, you know, go all the way around that. But you can't ever perceive, tell me anybody, someone that's been married for 50 years, can you always 100% predict what your spouse is thinking?
I mean,
no.
No, no. I mean, you might be reasonably good at it, but you're never going to perfectly be right. able to do that. And I did want to interject yeah. something here, too. When yeah. you're talking about the things that we say and what people say, oftentimes you have to go back and you have to establish meanings to words and terms.
Well, that's the whole thing.
I mean,
in fact, writing our paper, I was just looking at it saying, you know, like language is really important.
Yeah.
But that's it. You ask them,
mm-hmm.
you know, instead of getting way down the line and thinking, why are they calling that common sense and why am I
yeah.
calling this something different?
Mm-hmm.
Ask them. Ask well, them, you know, now tell me what exactly do you think is mm-hmm. common sense in this situation?
Well, Think about this. When you write a research paper of some sort, you know, particularly in the sciences and things like that, when you're writing a research paper, what is one of the things you have to do in the paper?
You have
to put definitions. You have
That's
terms
right.
that you use, and you have to define it, because if you're going to make an argument for something or try to prove something in your paper, you have to be talking on the same level with the person reading it that's going to maybe differ with you. You have to be using the same terminology.
Yes.
And that's a problem that we have. We're not always using the same terminology.
No, well, and often we're not. And actually, I wrote up a bunch of this, and it was for the whole woke thing and looked at a number of different things, equality and fairness and on and on and on, and how people would define it differently, but it's absolutely true, and I know they're operational definitions. In other words, you know, something that there are very few things that you can say that are absolutely defined, but
mm-hmm.
even if it's so clear, it has to be defined in your paper anyway.
Yeah.
And usually it's though a little, you know, the circumstance might be a little different, but that's an operational definition.
Right.
You have to have them all in there, or it's, and really so many of, you know, the ordinances and the this is and the that, they don't have any, they don't even have definitions. The ones that were, you know, discrimination, the ones I've seen, okay, have not defined it. And they get down to another level of paper where they say, well, they still don't define discrimination, but then they say discrimination includes. They're adding something onto it, includes it, when they've never defined it in the first
mm-hmm.
place. And here's really a funny one that, well, it's kind of funny, but it can be very painful too, is when you, anyway, a number of us were talking one time and about how you might start a conversation and people you don't know or even a person and whatever. And this one person said, well, what could be safer than to say, well, do you have kids?
And that's not always a safe thing to say.
No, but it's not. The answer is that isn't safe at all. And
yeah.
that is just not even good. And I
In fact, I can think of several things right off the top of my head where that would not be a safe question to ask, because what if you were asking...
Anybody who's single.
Yeah, or what about if you're asking, you meet a new couple and they've been married for 20 years, you say, oh, do you have any kids? And there's a couple that perhaps struggled for years and never able to have children.
Right. Well, that's
and it's a hurtful subject for them because they feel, they have these feelings because of not having kids and wanting them and the struggles that they went through. And then you just bring that up.
Oh, so. I know. It's absolutely just so ludicrous. But the funniest thing was we were sitting in a room of about, there were maybe 8 or 9 of us, and none of us had kids. The person who was asking, he said, what could be safer? And we all said, oh, this isn't it. But I did think of something, a comment about this. I thought, well, you do want to start a conversation, so what might you say that you think might be the least, possibility of making somebody just think you're a total idiot and can't even, start a conversation. Something like, what things are important to you?
Well,
things are of interest. What are your interests? I mean, that is like so open.
But
conversation could start and, they could say anything.
But let me interject this. That can be a question that has problems associated with it as well. And let me give you an example. There are introverts and there are extroverts. And a lot of people mistakenly believe that introverts are shy and extroverts are bold. I've known some extroverts who are very shy. That's probably the worst combination, to be an extrovert and be shy.
Not necessarily, but we can go into
that. But I was going to say that the definition really of an introvert and extrovert is an introvert is drained by their interaction with people and charged up by being away from people, and extrovert's the opposite. And if somebody comes up to an introvert that they don't know and says something along the lines, what's important to you? What's the big important things in your life? An introvert oftentimes will look at them and say, who are you and why are you asking me this?
Well,
what makes you think that I want to say that to you? And
that might be the case.
Well, I know it's the case because I've been there. I've done that. I'm the introvert, and I've had people thinking.
I'm an introvert too, but there are certain situations, like if you're a pastor
you're
up at the podium, or you're a teacher and you're in a classroom. An introvert has to be an extrovert.
Well, you have to do some extrovert type stuff. But what I was leading to with that, and along with what you're talking about, and I see we got about 5 minutes, is the idea that, in a sense, there's really no blanket statement. You have to pay attention to the person you're talking to.
Oh, absolutely.
And the question of what's going to be a safe question is going to vary. In regards to the person you're talking to, one good advice that I heard one time is, like, if you're visiting somebody's home, comment on something, like if they've got a particularly interesting vase sitting on the mantle or a painting on the wall.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, there's some importance to it, and you can say something about, oh, that's interesting. Where'd you get that?
Of course, interesting means anything in the whole world.
Yeah, but I mean, it's interesting to that person, and now that person wants to talk to you, and then you can lead, from there. Yeah.
But the one about the kids is really off the edge.
Do you know what people used to ask us in Samoa, my wife and I, when we were missionaries there? Because we had no kids of our own. And we were there in Samoa, and people had large families. First question would be, where are you from? Next question would be, where you stay, which means, where do you live?
Yeah.
Then they would say something along the lines of, how much you pay? In other words, what's your rent? This is a standard question. Somebody doesn't even know you, just met you 5 seconds ago. Mm-hmm. And then they would say, do you have any kids? If you said no, they would say, why not?
Yeah, I know, and isn't that horrible?
And that was standard questions. How many times we were asked that, the whole line, all of them, from one person that we just met 5 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the thing is, that one, That one was really bad.
Yeah.
And the thing is, the person absolutely for sure felt that was like the safest question in the world.
It was a standard thing. I mean, it just.
And all of us were sitting there saying, do you realize that none of us have kids?
Yeah.
None of us. And how do you think that makes us feel? But, well, so, yes, and I agree. I definitely agree. If you're, you know, someplace if you kind of say some things that just lets them not have to say anything, you know, for a while. But I don't know. Well, I don't know. When I was thinking about it, and I just said, what has the best chance of, you know, making somebody feel comfortable, whatever, because people often really like to talk about themselves.
Yeah.
You know, they like someone to be interested in them you know, that's it, be interested in knowing them. But that's the only thing I could come up with is, you know, well, you know, what do you like? What are things that you like? Instead of saying, well, I guess you were sitting and watching the Super Bowl last week, and I'd say, I don't even know who was playing and who won, by the way.
I just thought of one. Here's a way you don't want to say it, probably, asking something about them. What made you wear such an ugly shirt to church today?
Yeah, well, now, to me, that is so purposely... what do I want to say? Horrendously. Not, well, it's almost like it can't be ignorant. It has to be purposeful.
But sometimes there's people who are so clueless that they'll say stuff like
that's
that.
True. Clueless
but
is
I know we're coming up quickly on the end of the program, but tying this back to some of the Bible is I really do think that as believers, you know, our conversation, which is not only the things that we say, but the things that we do, ought to show God's wisdom working in our life. If we're truly saved and the Spirit of God indwells us, it's going to help and guide us in those interactions with people, hopefully so that we can say something that won't needlessly offend them, so that we might have an open door to be a witness to them like God wants us to be.
Well, and the thing is, it would offend them, but what you said that was really good is God's wisdom.
Yes.
You don't just say wisdom because people think something, you know, very different. This was great. Thank you, Pastor Al.
Well, thank you for calling in, Cheryl. Thank you for calling back when we lost your call there. Appreciate that. And we're pretty much out of time here. We appreciate all our callers here this evening. And keep praying for the people there on the East Coast, that storm that's making its way up through there. And but we're out of time tonight. Thanks for listening. God bless, and join us again next time. God bless.
You just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit the website livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at Late Night Live with Pastor Al.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield next Sunday morning at 11 a.m. or next Sunday evening at 6 p.m. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday at 7. You can connect with Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 p.m. and right here again next Sunday night from 10 p.m. to midnight for Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.